Rabbi Jerva is Ishar Shkailis. He's one of the biggest experts, I would say, in the whole world about kashrus. He knows, I would say, kemat, every aspect of kashrus. He's had experience in it. And besides that, he's traveled literally all around the world. And this past year, he went into North Dakota, which was the 50th state of the United States that he has visited. We just missed North Dakota, so he hopped around that as well. If you have questions, by the way, fill out the cards and do not ask on a specific product. Ramosha, how many products do we have over?
What did I count?
It's either over 1 million ingredients or over 1 million products. So if you can add, the way to get an answer on a specific product is to call up or Sweden Nussbaum. He'll find every product has a rabbinic coordinator in charge of that product. His number again is 212-613-8241. So do not ask, if you're going to fill out the card, don't ask specific products, because no one except for the computer knows all the products that are in the system. Again, it's divided up by the rabbanim who take care of the companies. Each rabbi has different companies that they take care of. Okay, without further ado, I would like to call on Rav Jervell, and
I have no idea.
Okay, we have a few questions we'd like Rabbi Jervell to answer. And if you have more, Rabbi Grossman's son will be going around to collect the questions for Rabbi Jervell. Huh? Oh, you want to sit? You're good? Okay, so first of all, we have in sushi, which is a very popular Michael, it's called nori sheets. The question to Rabbi Jervell is, why are nori sheets not kosher for Pesach?
We actually have some nori snacks that we made this year with a special production for Pesach. And when we got the application, and we went through the application, we saw how complex it is. And Baruch Hashem, we succeeded. And we didn't just succeed, we succeeded in doing it right. Nori sheets start with seaweed. They harvest seaweed from the sea. They wash it. They grind it. They cook it. And after that, they roll it into very thin sheets. And they roll it and roll it and roll it until it's like a very thin piece of paper, at which point they will put it through an oven. And then they'll cut it to size. That's what a nori sheet is. For those of you that are interested, there are people that actually put some fish and rice and other things on it. I'm not sure exactly what, because Baruch Hashem, I have never been zeichah to eat that, and I hope never to eat that. It just, it's not something that I like. However, when we went through this company to see what they do, they make various types of nori sheets. And one of the types they make is, before it goes through the oven, they spray it with a very thin spray of soy sauce. Anyone that's ever seen soy sauce being made knows that it's a misnomer. There is soy in it, but there's almost very, very often there's wheat in there too. Soy sauce is chametz. And so if you spray soy sauce on the sheet and then you put it through the oven, that oven and that oven belt is now chametz stick. So we told the company, this is fine, you want to make it for Pesach, we'll be happy to help you. How high can you get the oven? And they told us 500 degrees. And so we said, that's great, as long as it's Celsius, not Fahrenheit. And they agreed. And we sent the mashgiach to Korea for a special production. And this mashgiach actually made sure it reached that temperature. I actually went through his report. and we actually kashered that oven with Liban Chomer before we made these nori snacks. Now, I'm sorry to say that whichever company decided they wanted the nori snacks did not market nori sheets this year, so the OU does not have nori sheets. I've seen some nori sheets on the market with not under the OU. I actually investigated it. I spoke to the people that were in charge of that, and what they did was they did a Liban Kal for the simple reason that they said the oven can't go higher than that. So when the company told us 500 and they wanted Fahrenheit, we also told them we can't do it. But they actually did it to 500 Celsius, and we did it. So if Mirtz Hashem, if this year you see the Nori snacks on the market, you'll know it was made not just with a Mashgiach Tmidi, but with Emes Liban Chomer on the oven. And hopefully we're trying to convince the distributor to actually market OU-certified Nori sheets for Pesach next year.
Question that we got in is, I don't have the map of
the Nori. Nori is that greenish black thin paper like thing that they use to roll the raw fish or the vegetables in there. You can't have sushi without Nori. That's an integral ingredient in that. And we've actually had a lot of experimentation, and there is a way to make sushi for Pesach. There is Pesach certified quinoa, which you can use instead of the rice. There's actually people that have experimented and done it with cauliflower rice. So for those that it shares their simplest yontif, that they don't have the sushi, we hope next year to be mashlim this lack for Klal Yisrael.
Question there, guys: are milk or other milk products sold in stores on Pesach? Milk before Pesach.
You have to ask the distributor when it was milked. Depending on the date that's on the package, depending which state it's in, you can find out the law and how long it's good for, and if you check the date, you can know when it was milked. But I can't tell you for sure that all milk that's in the store, especially the last day Chol HaMoed, was not milked in the beginning of Pesach. I cannot tell you that. If you're talking about Chol HaYisrael, I can tell you they do not milk Chol HaYisrael milk on Pesach.
Ground unflavored coffee for Pesach with other garlic.
The OU's position is that ground coffee without flavors is good for Pesach. And the reason for that is that even though we will not certify decaffeinated coffee for Pesach, because there are several methods to decaffeinate coffee, and one of those methods could involve chametz. Nevertheless, the on ground coffee that is not decaffeinated, nothing is done to it that's going to hurt it for Pesach. So therefore, we've looked at places throughout the world, and we have not found any issue with ground coffee without flavors and with caffeine for Pesach.
And I think
That should be in the book, if I'm not mistaken.
Folgers decaffeinated coffee is okay for Pesach.
Yeah, we have some decaffeinated that are good for Pesach. Taster's Choice is not decaffeinated. But Folgers has a decaffeinated. The method that Folgers is using, something that we checked out, and it is not a problem for Pesach. But there are coffees that are done that are problematic. There are decaffeinated coffees that are problematic for Pesach. We actually have in our directory some decaffeinated teas, and not all of them are good for Pesach either. Anything decaffeinated needs a hechsher for Pesach.
Is vinegar chametz, and how about products like pickles and hot pepper that contain vinegar?
Vinegar, well, you have to break down that question. Let's talk about in the USA. Because vinegar is made from various ingredients, and those ingredients change status throughout the world. Basically, in the vinegar, what we have is plain white distilled vinegar, starts off as alcohol, and you put a certain bacteria into the alcohol, and the bacteria somehow they manage not to get drunk. They drink the alcohol and they spit out vinegar. They actually convert the alcohol into vinegar. Now in Europe, where a large percentage of the alcohol is made from wheat, you could have vinegar over there that's 100% chametz. In the U.S., most of the alcohol in the U.S. is not chametz. So if you want to buy a jar of vinegar, you do have kolde parish, meruba parish. The overwhelming majority of the alcohol in the U.S. is not chametz. I would say over 90, probably closer to 95% of the alcohol in the U.S. that's made here in the U.S. is not chametz. So therefore, you don't have to be chayshish that the pickles that you have or the vinegar that you have is chametz. And if you have that, you want to be chayshish for that small percentage, it's a suffix. It's a very small suffix. So, good. Include it in your shtar mechira to the goy. I will tell you that I know some people that are very, very machmir and don't want to sell anything that has any shaila of chametz. And I usually get calls from them on Chol HaMoed because they didn't execute a shtar mechira at all. And then they find out that some of the products in their pantry could be emes chametz. So it's a nice thing to have a shtar mechira as a backup, so you shouldn't be over bal yiro bal yimatzah.
Is it mutter to take vitamins on Pesach without
partial kashkar from that? That's a shaila for a rub. It depends what you need the vitamins for. It depends on many, many different factors. There are some people that take vitamins instead of having their scrambled eggs in the morning. That's their diet. There are some people that take vitamins for medicinal reasons. It can be a nutritional supplement. This is all, it depends on the situation, and each person should consult a Rav with his personal situation and let the Rav paskin accordingly. But there are vitamins that do contain chametz. Brewer's yeast, which is a nutritional chametz, which is a nutritional ingredient. Some people take it as a vitamin every day, and brewer's yeast is chametz. Some of the B vitamins could be chametz. Some vitamin C, some of it is chametz, some of it is kidneys. But again, if you're going to take a multivitamin, you have to know how much of what is in there. I do take a multivitamin every day, and Baruch Hashem, my doctor is matir that I don't have to take that one on Pesach. I still take the other 18 pills every morning. But the multivitamin on Pesach, I don't take.
Is quinoa kidneys?
Quinoa is a grain that was not benimtza during the days when the gzera of kidneys was established. The Chazal give us certain gedarim of what is kidneys and what is not kidneys. Based on those gedarim, there are different places in the world and different parts of Europe and different parts of where Klal Yisrael lived that have the various minhagim of what is and what's not kidneys. My personal minig is that I'm mahadir to try to get raw peanuts and roast them in a Pesach dika oven and eat them on Pesach, because my father told me that in the old country they ate peanuts on Pesach. My father was not a Sephardi. My grandfather used to call my brother Mesa. So my father was not a Sephardi. And Rav Moshe actually writes that where he came from, they ate peanuts on Pesach too. Quinoa was not around when the Gzeira came. Whether the simonim of kidneys apply to it or not is a difference of opinion among various rabbonim. The OU certifies quinoa with certain gedarim. Quinoa has to be from a place that's only doing that, has to be packaged in a place that's only doing that. The OU does certify certain quinoa for Pesach, if I'm not mistaken. What?
We certify quinoa for Pesach. And there are two parts to discussing quinoa. One is what Rabbi Jurabel just mentioned. Is quinoa considered kidneyous? And after much deliberation, the OU Pesachim decided that quinoa is not considered kidneyous because it can't be part of a minig, because it wasn't around when the minig began. And then the issue was, so does quinoa grow near grain? So we sent the Mashiach to the mountains of Peru with quinoa grows. And he came back and said, no, the quinoa does not grow next to grain. But what he did find is that in the factories where they package the quinoa, the same equipment can be used to package quinoa that package chametz. So we have a Mashiach committee there where we package the OUP quinoa to make sure that there's no chametz then in the factory and that the equipment is completely clean.
What should I look out for with hand malzi?
The first thing is they have to be baked lishma, because if the hand matzahs are not baked lishma, you have a problem being yotze, achilas matzah with it. You're not supposed to eat kfulas, you're not supposed to eat nefuchas, and it would be nice if people know what a kfula and what a nefucha is. I can tell you that most of the questions on matzah that I get are certainly mutter meikir adin, and they're not real kfulas, but you do find kfulas too. And if you find a kfula, you break you break off that part and you don't eat it. It's you go into, open up a Shulchan Aruch, see what passels in a matzah, and check your matzahs before Pesach. It happens to be that any matzah you buy from any hand matzah bakery was checked by someone already. But you want to go through the matzahs again before you eat them? Tova Elechem Bracha.
Does kashering and oven require living chomer or can living cup?
The OU directory actually addresses that question. I actually read it today.
What does it say?
The OU directory says that you can do Liban Kal. Rav Aaron Cutler held that Liban Kal is enough to kasher an oven, not for a broiler where the food goes directly on it, but for the oven itself. Rav Aaron held it's enough. Rav Moshe did not hold like that. The Minig Ha'olam is not like Rav Moshe.
Is acetic acid the same as vinegar?
No. As vinegar, if you buy a jar of vinegar, it actually says on the label 5% acidity. There's actually one brand in the grocery stores that sells for less money than the others, and people don't realize it. If you look at the label, it says 4% acidity, and my wife tells me never to buy that brand because it destroys her recipes. It's not strong enough. But the acid that's in vinegar naturally is acetic acid. If you get 100% acetic acid and dilute it with 95% water, you'll have the equivalent of vinegar. I've done it many times, and it makes great cucumber salad for Pesach.
Is chapstick a problem on Pesach?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the ingredients.
I think there's my place of price with you. Something on your lips. You have it directly. Something on your lips. And my place of price can, I guess it's the dive of Nachum on Pesach. Some price will always put.
Well, is there anything in chapstick that could be a problem? That's the first question. So I can't answer that because I don't know the ingredients in there. If anyone has some, I'll be glad to look at the ingredients.
Flavored would be a problem for sure, right?
Flavored? I wouldn't recommend flavored chapstick a whole year round. Why not use the... If I'm not mistaken, there was at one point a lip balm that had a hashgacha on the market. It's a nice thing. And what should I say? I wouldn't recommend flavored toothpicks on Pesach either, because who knows what's in it.
Is Play-Doh chametz?
The last time I checked, Play-Doh was chametz. I haven't checked it in a few years. The last time I checked, it was chametz and it was edible. They have to make it edible because they can't have a kid, chas v'shalom, eat it and get sick. So it has to be made that in a way that it's completely edible. Depending on what color it is, the kid may decide to eat it. I have a grandchild that's partial to green. So if there's green Play-Doh, that one, he may eat that one. Some of them like red.
How about car refreshments?
I don't know. Car fresheners have some kind of perfume in it. I don't know if it's usher to smell that perfume on Pesach or not. That's something you should be ma'ayin in Hilchos Pesach and see if that is an issue or not.
Page 102 says,
the Rabbi Grossman, don't ask me the questions that are in the directory, because okay. I didn't study the directory before I got up here.
Okay. Let's do the following question. Cornstarch, which is the form of glucose or dextrose, can that be used by Sfardim for Pesach?
When they make glucose and they make dextrose, the starting ingredient is starch. And what I've been to a factory where they take the corn, kernels of corn, they chop it up, they soak it in water, the water absorbs the starch, they filter that water and take out the solids, and then this liquid solution of water and starch goes through equipment where they'll evaporate off the water and the finished product will be a cornstarch. Subsequently, that cornstarch can be converted into glucose or dextrose. Now, one of the factories I've been in, we actually had two buildings. The factory was literally a mile long, but each building was only half a mile long, Baruch Hashem. If it was the other direction, I would have had to walk more than that. And one factory was working with wheat starch, and one factory was working with corn starch. The wheat never came into the corn facility, the corn never came into the wheat facility. But as I just described, after you have the starch slurry, they're going to evaporate off that water, because they want it thick, they want to get the starch out of it, they don't want all the water in it. When they evaporate off that water, they recover that water. They put it through an evaporator and they recover that water. That water is valuable, it's hot, it has energy, and they put that water, which is basically distilled water, it's pure distilled water, and they put that back into their water tank. That water tank feeds both buildings, the corn building and the wheat building. So you can literally have cornstarch that was made with water that wheat was cooked in, which would make that cornstarch real chametz. It exists. In this country, I don't know any place that does it, that does corn and wheat in the same buildings where we have this situation. We've checked. The OU gives a hechsher on various glucose and dextrose items commercially, and the hechsher is called chametz free, which means it's for oichlei kitnius. This is one of the things we check for. We check for the enzymes that are used. We check for a lot of things. But again, I just received, this week, I received a letter from a Sfaradish Rav who actually heard a presentation about what kind of chashashas you can have for kidneys. And this Sfaradish Rav went and he said the list is in preparation. At that point, he only had signatures from 10 Sfaradish Rabbonim. And he's urging the people that eat kidneys, maintain your minig to eat kidneys, just like I eat peanuts. Maintain your minig. However, don't make assumptions. The only items you can use for kidneys are something that has a hechsher for kidneys. When the OU certifies something OU kidneys, it's done with the same severity and the same kavod reish as a Pesach item. We'll kasher before we do it. We'll have a mashgiach tmidi. We don't just put a stamp on something. This is oichlei kidneys. You can't imagine the work that we do for oichlei kidneys. In some ways, is even more difficult than the work that we do for something that's kosher or Pesach. You want to use kidneys on Pesach? It's part of your Messiah. Please go right ahead, but make sure that it's kidneys. And leave it to the experts that know how to give a hechsher to certify it.
I don't think this is in the directory, so I'm going to ask it. Are starch shirts from the cleaners a problem on Pesach?
I'm You're asking the wrong person. My shirts go in the washing machine and come out of the dryer. But I have heard that there is such a thing as spray starch. I heard about such things. I'm going to venture a guess. If it's made in the U.S., it's probably cornstarch. Wheat starch is much more expensive. So I would guess if it's made in the U.S., it's cornstarch. But I don't know if that when you spray that starch on, I don't know if that starch is edible. I don't know if it's nifsal me'achila. Again, my shirts come out of the dryer.
Are they all shirts come from starch? No problem.
Okay.
Can you use fish food on Pesach?
For fish or for humans?
Both.
Okay. For humans, you can't use it unless it has a hechsher. And as far as for fish, there are all kinds of formulas for fish food. I've seen dozens and dozens of formulas, and some of them contain chameshes mine dogon, and you're not allowed to have hanah from chametz on Pesach. I actually had a similar conversation with Rabbi Yanka Bloy, Zichron Levracha, in Yerushalayim, about mushrooms on Pesach. Mushrooms as the ones that, well, I'm not sure you want to say they were zoiche. Whoever was not at the mushroom place where they're growing it is the one that zoiche. I was the one that was there, where they take tractors and make 10 foot high piles of manure, fresh manure, mix in straw and mix in wheat kernels. Then they put it into a bed similar to a sandbox frame, and they put that there. Then they blow in the spores of the mushroom, and the mushroom spore attaches itself to the piece of wheat that's in this garbage. And it grows. It takes around 45 days, and the mushroom grows. When they harvest the mushroom, they don't dig it. They don't dig in. I wouldn't advise that. They cut it because it's growing above the surface already. And there was one rav at one time that was mefarsim that mushrooms are usur on Pesach because they grow from wheat. Whoever says that obviously missed Mefurash Allah and Hilchas Brachas, that the bracha on mushrooms is shehakel, because mushrooms do not get yinika. Even if mushrooms grow on the ground, mushrooms do not get yinika. And I did discuss this with Rabbi Yanka Bloy, and he said he walked out of the Eda Haredis office. He said, I can't answer this in the office. I can answer this when I leave. And I walked him out, and he said he sees absolutely no shaila on mushrooms, except if you want to grow mushrooms on Pesach, then it could be that you're nene from the wheat.
But I do want to say, I don't think it's negated to this island, but we did certify this year animal food.
Oh, we did?
There's a company, it doesn't look like it's negated here too much. Cat food and dog food. It's called Kosher Paws. P-A-W-S. And it's made with kosher meat. There's no boss with chomet issue and no chomet issue. So it's the Manhattan Kosher Pesach.
The bell seems to tell you to always speak about that people make what's called a tumul. So I understand that this year's tumul is about 5 gallon water in plastic water bottles. Is it kosher for Pesach without a hechsher?
I heard about the tumul. I actually heard about it, and I actually checked exactly what it is. A lot of the companies that sell water in 5 gallon, they actually take a deposit on the plastic 5 gallon bottle. And you're not necessarily getting a brand new bottle. They will refill it, and they'll put a new seal on there, and then when they deliver it, it doesn't mean that that bottle was never used. Now, is that a shaila for Pesach or not? Personally, I don't think it's much of a shaila. The bottle is cleaned, it's sanitized before they refill it. There are people, and you actually see this in Eretz Yisrael very often, on bottles, it says Bakbuk Chadash, because there are people that are machmer on it. So personally, I don't see a shaila on the 5-gallon water bottles, as long as it's water. As long as you didn't put beer in there, you can get 5-gallon kegs of beer also, and that there's no shaila either. That would be chametz.
What would be chametz for lemon flavor?
Lemon flavors are usually start off, one of the main ingredients in a lemon flavor would be lemon oil. When you take lemon oil usually comes from the peel of the lemon. They take the lemon peels, they press it, and they get lemon oil out of there. Now, if anyone that wants to make a lemon extract is going to take lemon oil, mix it with alcohol, and let it sit. And what's going to happen is the taste of the lemon is going to go into the alcohol. There's a problem with lemon oil. Lemon oil is not water soluble. You take lemon oil and put it into your tea, it's not going to dissolve. So if you want to dissolve, you want to use a lemon extract. Or if you're baking, you want to use a lemon extract. So to make lemon extract, you take lemon oil, mix it with alcohol, and let it sit, and it will separate. You can actually see the separation. A lot of it will go into the alcohol. There will be some oil left that did not become soluble in the alcohol. Now, what's happening in the industry, and we've seen this, one of my Talmidim actually saw with his own eyes, but Pinchas Jurevel sees it more than that, that they take this used garbage lemon oil, which is not good enough to dissolve in alcohol, and they'll take that and they'll send it back to a factory, and that factory will redistill it. Now just think, this lemon oil was sitting in alcohol. So this lemon oil has a blea of alcohol. Lemaisa, if you redistill it, the alcohol will go out of there. There won't be a mashu of alcohol in there. But that makes no difference. If the lemon oil became chametz stick, it's a problem. We require a hechsher on lemon oil for Pesach. It can be done. There are manufacturers that make lemon oil directly from the lemon and do not do this secondhand stuff, but it exists. It exists, and it's very common, and it's something that you have to watch for. So just to decide that a lemon flavor is not a problem for Pesach, it would be a wrong decision to make that assumption.
Rabbi Alfman, please say something.
There's an issue that I wanted to mention with a very interesting story attached to it. And that's the issue of Chametz Shalom of Pesach. You know, we're all thinking about before Pesach, but not so long from now, it's going to be after Pesach. And we all go to stores and we buy food. And we assume it's a Goyish store and we don't have to worry. You know, I got a question last night on the radio. Somebody says, how do the OU let General Mills be open on Pesach? They make Cheerios. I said, because General Mills is not owned by Jews. But there could be distributors who are selling General Mills cereal. So I want to tell you a very interesting story that happened this week. We became aware, this is New Jersey, but New York is not so far away. We became aware that the distributor of most beer in New York State is owned by a Jew. Not only is he owned by a Jew, is that business owned by a Jew, there are different rules in the distribution of beer that require that the distributor can't just sell the beer right away. He has to keep it in his warehouse, maybe up to 30 days, and then he can start selling it. So essentially, you would not be allowed to buy any beer in New York State, at least till Shavuos. So one of the Rabbonim in the world of Kashrus, we met a number of Rabbonim from the major Kashrus organizations, met. We had a conference call. And one of the Rabbonim was given the job to call this person to agree, if he should agree to do a Mechiras Chametz. He called him a number of times. He refused to come to the phone. He didn't even come to the phone. Finally, his secretary was told to tell this Rav, don't call again, because I am not selling chametz. I'm not selling the chametz, and I don't care. So we had a real issue, and we were about to, you know, give a Kol Kairi. You can't drink beer. You have a crowd of beer until Shuls. So there was so we tried. The way we started trying, that we give Ashgacha to a number of beer companies, and that the companies that we give Ashgacha to should call him and say, you know, we told them, you know, we're not going to let people, even though the beer has the OU on it, we're not going to let people drink that beer because of this problem, and maybe that would put pressure on him. Before that could happen, last Shabbos, by Shabbos Ago of Russia, in Crown Heights, there was one of the Rabbonim in the world of Kashrus said over this story by a Shabbos Ago of Russia. And there was a person by the Drusha who said, I can't let this happen. I can't let this happen. So Mari the Gemara. So Matzai Shabbos, this person Googled where this person lives and what he likes to eat and what he likes to drink. And he stood in front of his apartment building in Manhattan until he walked out Sunday. He walked out Sunday, he recognized him because he saw his picture. And he went over to him and said, Shalom Aleichem. And he said to him, here's a cake, cream pie, he likes cream pie. Here's a bottle of whiskey, they knew exactly what he likes to drink. And you gotta sell your hummus. So he said, you know what? I'll do it. I'll do it. But the story is not over yet. He says, I'll do it. But there's a law. The law is that a beer license, you can't just sell to anybody. You know, you sell your chametz, the rov sells the chametz, then you got it. You just have to make sure it's a gun. Here, I only want to sell this to somebody who has a beer license, which that is legal. So I get a call Sunday night in my house about 8 o'clock. Do I know anybody who's a guy that has a license to distribute beer? I wouldn't know anybody like that. But I called somebody from the Herzog family. Maybe they know because they were in that business. So they tell me, what do you have to look? This person's number two man in this company is a guy. So let him sell it to his own number two man. So we told him, sell to your vice president. He says, no problem, gewaltig. But now there's a new problem. The mechiras chametz that we do is not going to work here. Because what happens? You sell your chametz to the rov, erev Pesach, but you're not buying any chametz on Pesach, and you're not using any chametz on Pesach. But this person, he didn't become that slow. He's not closing his business for God's Pesach. So he's going to be getting beer the whole yontif. So all that beer that he's getting on yontif certainly is not part of the Mechira, and maybe even mevatel the Mechira that he did. So you have to do a whole new type of Mechira. You have to sell the entire business. So now he got nervous about selling his entire business. So until we worked out, until a Nusach was worked out of a Mechira of his entire business that he would be comfortable with, and he didn't think that, you know, you have to be very careful. You don't want it to be a haroma, but you don't want him to have to sign. So until Monday afternoon, a nusach was being worked on, and Monday afternoon, he signed the Shtar Mechira, and we're going to have beer after Pesach, and he put on shul for the first time in over 50 years. So this is what we have to be thinking about, and you have to help us think about these things, and I guess you all have to think about it when you buy food. Just answer some quick questions here. Number one, there's a store in town who claims that grape juice from concentrate is not agafen. Is this true? Rebelski held, number one, Rebelski held there was no problem with concentrated grape juice, but chlal. Number two, even those that are machmer on concentrate would be maskim that as long as the roiv is not concentrate, so the fairish in Shulchan Aruch. You can look it up. It's Ramah. And Sim Kuf Chav Gimel Sif Zay, Sif Yud. The Ramah says he go bas the roiv. So if the roiv is not concentrated, it's not considered concentrate. There is no grape juice that we certify for concentrated the roiv. Must the guy know that the wine of Mavushal as of Oyu Palfi? No. As I mentioned, the most Paiskim are of the opinion that the guy does not have to know. I quoted the nice ride from the Gemara. If, according to Ramosha Zatzal, pasteurization is achieved at 165, how can you, Mechalim, say that it's not achieved to pasteurize at the Oyu Weber 220? Why is that Mechalim? Of 65 already has a Shem pasteurization. So not pasteurization of Shia. The answer is pasteurization of 165 is Shia. Pasteurization of 210 is not Shia.
What is the word Mefuster?
Mefuster means pasteurizer. In answer 12, there are some companies, because of this Shaila, that label the wine that is pasteurized. They don't want to label it Mefushel, so they label it Mefuster. What are the only policies on pump pots made in China that have hashgacha that says they don't need tefillah? If I ever saw Ravelsky got mad, this was when he got mad. He was really upset about this, and he said that you can't rely on that mechira. He said because some yi shows up in a factory in China, and he's talking to some guy who doesn't understand a word of English, and says, let's do a mechira. That means it's a mechira, and now it belongs to yi. He is very, very against it. Why did Elite remove the dots from many of the chocolate products and replace them with the OU? So I'm going to answer a number of ways. Number one, I don't know why the dots does things. You have to ask the dots. And they didn't replace it with the OU. It always had the OU. We went and put it instead of the dots. Why did Tom's toothpaste move to the kidney section of the OU Pesach Guy? Because we discovered that now they're using one of the ingredients in making the toothpaste as kidneys. Why should it help to cook the grapes to be considered mevushel? Because it's mevushel. The grapes are mevushel. Does one need a heksher for toothpaste? The answer is that the OU does give hashgacha on some toothpaste. Rav Belsky used to quote Rav Yankov, and Rav Yankov said it's not considered derech achila, and since it's not considered derech achila, there is no problem of toothpaste requiring hashgacha. There are many poskim that disagree, and certainly when it comes to Pesach, even more people are mocked to buy toothpaste with hashgacha.
Okay, peel garlic with an OU hexer, as the hexer that is not left overnight without a peel.
No, the hexer does not include that it was not left overnight without a peel. If it's peeled garlic and it's on the supermarket shelf for 2 days, it definitely was left overnight.
Could our ovens be kosher?
Let me elaborate a little more. I did go see this past summer, not in North Dakota, it was in California, but I did go see the production of granulated garlic by one of the largest companies that makes it. It's called Sensient. And I can tell you that if you're getting American-made garlic powder from Sensient, you do not have an issue that the garlic stayed overnight. I won't tell you that on the onion, but on the garlic that's made by Sensient here in the U.S., they have product from China too. I cannot tell you what's going on there, but the product of California it never stays overnight.
Ramosha
is
machalic between a person or a company.
I know Ramosha is machalic, but that wasn't the question you asked me.
Yeah, exactly. Could our ovens be kosher? Are they painted inside with something that can't be kosher?
If the OU directory says ovens can be kosher, then the answer is yes.
For those that are machmir not to sell Cummins Gomer, and the following product is sold. Now, I don't know if all the in the directory we have an article which things are Cummins Gomer, which are not. So let me ask this to Rabbi Gerber. Pearl barley
is not Cummins. I was there in Idaho. I happened to be the chief rabbi of Idaho Falls, and I was at the place where they You'll have to read the Daf HaKashrus. Okay, the pearl barley is a purely mechanical operation. No water at all. There's no chashash of chametz at all on pearl barley. If you take the barley and put it into your freezer because you want to keep it for the yoshin season, and depending on how you store it and when you take it out of there, if there's condensation, you may be growing some chametz there. But regular pearled barley that you get in the grocery store is not chametz.
Soy sauce.
Soy sauce has wheat in it. Soy sauce would be considered chametz.
Rolled oats.
Rolled oats are definitely chametz because when they do the rolled oats, they're steaming them. So at that point, there's chimutz on the oats.
Elmer's glue.
I don't know.
Are there any surim of confectionery blades?
Moshe has a tshuva regarding confectioner's glaze. Confectioner's glaze actually has a few other names. It's also known as shellac. You probably have some on the tables over here. And Moshe has a tshuva where he's matir it for two different reasons. And the OU goes with Ramesh's psak that we will certify products with confectioner's glaze.
New York State allows 2% sugar added to wine without stating on the label. Do we have to spell D-U-E, okay? Do we have to worry about sugar added to wines that don't state that it has sugar in them from a dietary and allergic perspective and from a halachic perspective?
As far as a dietary and allergic perspective, I would tell you to please speak to your medical professional or your nutritionist. As far as a halachic perspective, the wine is still hagafen.
We've heard devastating reports about food manufactured in China, especially candy. One, are they accurate?
I can't comment on a report that I didn't read.
Two, is there any limits on those who give hashgacha there?
There are people that give hashgacha in China and do a very, very good job of it. I just described how we gave a hashgacha to a nori snack in Korea, which is pretty close in culture to Chinese. There's a lot of Chinese blood in the Koreans, as we all know, Chinese, Japanese. And so there are ways to do it properly, and the people that are giving hashgacha, each one has their own way. There are ways, and you can succeed in doing it right if you put in the proper effort.
This question, I think I'll answer. Is there a difference between Aksher and disregard? The OU does not comment on other Aksher. Number four, should children be discouraged from even trading these products because of Lifnei Iver?
Which products?
The candy. We're back. Still with the candy.
If the candy has a decent texture, then it's up to the parents whether they want to let the kids trade snacks. When I went to elementary school, 90% of my class were Mechallel Shabbos, so we didn't know about trading snacks.
How do I know if Slurpees are kosher from Quick Check or Wawa? Is there a difference between Mountain Dew or ginger ale?
I don't have a Quick Check or a Wawa where I live, so I can't tell you what they sell over here. There is a list of which flavors are certified, and there should be some type of monitoring. See, when you fill a Slurpee, it's attached with a hose to a can of flavor. It would be nice if someone sees that the hose is actually true. I'll tell you a story. I was at a dinner where they had two soups, a vegetable soup and they had a chicken soup, except that it didn't work. And the vegetable soup and the chicken soup got mixed. So whichever person asked for vegetable soup, the waiter gave him from that soup tureen. He asked for chicken soup, he turned the other direction and gave him from the same soup tureen. So it would be nice if the labels on there were actually accurate, but that's up to the local people that are eating it to decide to make sure that it is. There are flavors that are certified, there's lists put out of which flavors are certified. You have to make sure that that flavor is what's attached to that hose.
For fountain soda, can I assume if in a bottle form it's kosher, so from the fountain, the soda machine is kosher also?
No.
Okay. Okay, this will be the last question. Let's see if I can read it. How can you buy fish at a non-Jewish store during the year?
Cash, credit card, food stamps.
Okay.
And you can go into this is actually Lakewood history. Years and years ago, the Shiva of Aaron Cutler told the younger light they can go into a trefa fish store, have them wash off the knife and the board, and watch what they're doing. Whether it's something that people should be doing today or not, that's a person's own decision. Today there are kosher fish, I think there are kosher fish stores in Lake. But at that time, Rav Aaron was matzah.
The same person asked, this will be the last question. Do you have to be cautious to buy chametz and eretz yisrael after Pesach? They are not from distributors. I don't know what that means.
I would expect that a company like Osem has a rav that sells their chametz. A company like Talma sells their chametz. A company like Tnuva sells their chametz. The major manufacturers, are part of the hechsher is that they sell their chametz.
Go ahead, Rabbi Drew. Just 1 minute or something.